WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Thursday at 3 o'clock, Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer joins us. Sheil's call, sponsored by Dr. Rafi and Precision Hair Restoration. You'll keep losing your hair until you stop it. Dr. Rafi can help you get your confidence back. Visit PhillyHairMD.com today. Sheil, how are we doing, brother?
What's up, guys? Doing well. How you doing?
What up, Sheil?
So, first question, before we get to the Eagles themselves. We've been talking about that we saw two power rankings today, one from ESPN, one to CBS. ESPN had the Eagles 6th, CBS had them 18th. If you had to say what they're closer to, 6th best team in the league or 18th best team in the league, where would you put them?
Well, I think I would probably, my gut, as you asked that, said I'd have them at 10 or 11. So I guess that would probably
be closer to 6.
That's closer to 6. I can do the math.
Yep.
Probably closer to 6. Yep.
So after rewatching the game, the defense, even though the Eagles only gave up 22 points, it felt terrible. After rewatching the game, did it look as bad the second time as it did the first time?
I hate coming on and being negative right away, but honestly, it might have looked worse the second time around. I mean,
oh, no.
They scored those points, and it was, what, eight possessions they had. So the Eagles' offense was holding the ball for a big chunk of that game, so the final score didn't tell the story. I mean, I just look at it, when you have a defensive line that is giving up over 6 yards per carry on the season and also has one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL, I don't know how you can have a good defense doing both those things. You can have one or the other and get by some weeks, but they can't do either, and so that's what really stood out, is that they're getting gashed in the run game, and Kirk Cousins, who cannot move, who is 36 years old coming off an Achilles, is just sitting back there, and you're not impacting the game at all. So that's my biggest concern probably with the whole team right now.
And for me, Sheil, with this, I'm like, how do they get better? There's obviously not great defensive ends, pass rushers, run stuffers on the street somewhere where the Eagles can just go pluck them off the street. I'm just trying to figure out, how does this team get better defensively, and how much should we expect them to get better? And this could be, I mean, it's really just going to put the offense in a tough position to really have to score, or do the offense do what they did Monday night, which is essentially try to play keep away football from the other team's offense.
Right. Yeah. Those are a couple formulas that you can have. I mean, the simplest answer is that your good players play better. You know, Bryce Huff has had over 10 sacks in his career, or last year he was a 10-sack guy, and now he's not doing anything. Is he just going to go through the whole season and not be any good, or is it reasonable to think, hey, he can get better as he plays more in this defense? We'll see. You know, sometimes you sign a free agent and it doesn't work out at all, but the same thing with a guy like Jalen Carter. We saw him in the first half of last season really be an impactful player. Can he get back to being that guy? And then if the answer is no to those questions, then you have to look to the defensive coordinator and say, where is the strength of this defense? And I think they've covered pretty well in the secondary, probably better than most of us would have thought. And Fangio, typically, historically, he has not been a big blitz guy. But if you can't get home with those four guys, you're going to have to take some more chances. And they might have to turn into more of a blitzing team, where you say, hey, we have to trust Quinyon Mitchell and Darius Slay and whoever's out there. You guys are really going to have to hold up one-on-one, because it's our only choice right now. So those are some of the things I'm keeping an eye on with how they call the game in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
It seemed like on Monday night, even when they did try blitzing, or, you know, Fangio tried something here and there, it didn't even seem like
it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had an emotional blitz, Spike, I called it, because they weren't getting to Cousins, and then I think he just threw his hands up and said, hey, let's get after him, and they gave up the 41-yard touchdown. So you're right. It's not like they haven't tried that. He tried it, and you got burned for one of the biggest plays in the game on a big blitz. So he was trying different stuff in that game, but yet nothing was working, as everyone knows who paid attention.
Talking to Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer, one final question for me on the defense is, you brought up Bryce Huff. You know, no statistics so far, no hurries, no pressures, no sacks, no solo tackles. Is there any bright spot when you rewatch what he's doing to how Bryce Huff has played?
I mean, there's really not. The biggest concern for me is that, you know, in the past, the Eagles' edge guys, when opposing offenses tried to block them with a tight end, they destroyed that guy. Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham, the guys we've watched in the past, even going back to like Connor Barwin. I mean, you couldn't block those guys with a tight end. You have to win against tight ends. And I mean, there's clips from this game where Kyle Pitts, who is a receiving tight end, is moving Bryce Huff like a long way on a run play that's going for 10, 15 yards. So you just haven't seen it at all yet. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt after week one in the slippery field conditions, but there's really no excuses in this game. I mean, Kirk Cousins really wasn't getting rid of the ball that quickly. So it's a two-game sample. I will say that. You know, Javon Hargrave, other guys who have been here, they didn't get off to the fastest start, and then they turned into good players. So we overreact in the first month of the NFL season. It's what we're supposed to do. It's part of the fun of it. But that's really the only thing I can point to is, hey, let's at least give him a couple more games before we destroy the guy.
On to the offense. You know, Jalen has played better against the blitz so far this season. What would you say is the, I guess, the percentage leap or how much better has he been this year compared to the end of last year?
Yeah, I wouldn't go like overboard and say now he's one of the best in the NFL, but it definitely looks a lot better and a lot different than last year. You know, I think going into the season, there was this big question about, oh, Jason Kelsey's not there, and now Hurts is going to have to take that stuff on his plate before the snap and, you know, style up and set the protection. That's been really good so far. I mean, their offensive line might be the biggest bright spot on the team so far. When you look at the question marks with no Kelsey, with putting Mekhi Becton in there, I think they've been really, really good up front, both protecting Jalen Hurts and also in the run game. So, yeah, I think that showed up with kind of having those answers against the blitz and not having those turn into negative plays. So definitely better than last year.
Yeah, I look at the offense. Offensive line has certainly exceeded a lot of people's expectations. But if you look at this one loss, Shiel, and last week, fortunately, it didn't turn into a loss with Jalen's, in my opinion, bad decision-making on those two interceptions. Monday night, you had the Saquon play on 3rd and 3 where he dropped the ball. And then even with Jalen with 30-some seconds to go in two timeouts, you know, the last throw, and listen, he held himself accountable yesterday and said he has to do a better job there and not be as greedy, take stuff underneath. But those things from their best players contributed to the loss right there. Like, and if we're going to be the team we want to be, our best players can't be the reason why we're losing games.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, no doubt about it. I mean, if Saquon, just imagine, if Saquon Barkley, he probably makes that catch, 9 out of 10 times?
Yes.
If he makes it, think of the conversations we're having this week just on that one. A guy getting paid $12 million just catching a ball from 5 yards away can make the entire difference on how the whole city's feeling this week. So it's a good point that early on, little things like this, you know, those are the guys you count on. And, yeah, that last interception, you know, I thought Jalen Hurts played well overall, but just sometimes in those spots, he's got to know the situation better. And you only needed 15 yards there to get into field goal range. And you got to know that before the ball snapped. I'm not saying it's easy. It's a blitz. He's got a guy in his face. I know it's not easy. But that is kind of what the $51 million or whatever is for. So at this point in his career, yeah, you got to see some progress in those big spots.
I'm trying not to be concerned about this, but I am aware and alarmed from it, at least from the standpoint I'm seeing it, and I can't ignore it. But situational football with Jalen, understanding the situation and playing smart at that position, is this something that we should be concerned about, the Eagles should be concerned about? Because this was something 2 years ago wasn't an issue, and all of a sudden it's almost as if he's pressing, or I don't want to say he's playing hero ball, but he certainly isn't aware of playing smart down the stretch and being that heady quarterback. Are you still confident that he's the right guy in those situations, or should we be concerned about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we got to keep paying attention to. I'm not saying he's, you know, terrible at it or he's going to continue making those mistakes, but, yeah, I mean, you just gave the example, and we saw the same. It was a similar situation last year against Seattle.
The
game probably reminded a lot of people of that Seahawks game where you give up the back-breaking drive, and then you have a chance to still win the game, and you get too aggressive when you're you're not far away from field goal range in that spot. So, yeah, you need, you know, like sometimes I feel like we're being too hard, but I mean, think about if, like, you know, if Patrick Mahomes, if Lamar Jackson, if those guys did that, they would get criticized for it. And so, you know, you're not on a rookie contract anymore. You're getting paid that kind of money that, yeah, you know, I think that decision-making in those key spots, you mentioned it, situational football, they've got to be better at it because so many one-score games in the NFL, we know that those little things do matter.
Yep. Talking to Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer. Okay, Shiel, looking ahead to Sunday, your opinion, is the Saints' offense as good as they have looked so far, and do we have any chance of holding them under 50 points?
under 50. I think they can do it. I mean, it's one of the old Andy Reid-isms where you're kind of never as bad as the previous week and never as good as the previous week. I mean, they're doing some nice things, no doubt about it, and they've looked great the first 2 weeks of the season. We do have like a 10-year sample of Derek Carr that he's been solid, but he hasn't been this guy. And so I think a lot of it is what they're doing schematically with play action and different things to put him in position to succeed. And he's executed it very well. But again, it is two games. So yes, I do think there is a chance that we come away from this game saying, all right, the Eagles defense wasn't as bad as it was in week two. The Saints offense wasn't as good as it was in week two. But again, the key is, I mean, you got to get some pass rush. You know, they've got a rookie left tackle and they've got a right tackle who got benched last year and was considered a bust and is now playing better. But still, these aren't like the best. This isn't the best tackle combination in the NFL. So the pass rush has to show up somehow, some way to impact those guys. And Derek Carr has not been the same guy when he's been pressured throughout the course of his career. So it's really, you know, it's boring to say, but that really is what this is going to come down to.
The Eagles going to win or not?
You know what? I just decided as I was waiting on hold here, I hadn't made my pick yet. And yeah, I'm going to pick them this week, 24-23.
Wow.
The Eagles, you hold them in the red zone.
Bull.
You know, to Ike's point, you're holding the ball on offense, so you're stringing together these long drives so your defense, doesn't have to be perfect in this game. Maybe you get a turnover. You know, that'd be nice. A turnover
that'd be nice to do, yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I always at this point in the year try to just remind myself, don't overreact to the previous week. Like, and you look at the line for this game, Eagles were, what, 3.5-point favorites, and now they're 2.5-point underdogs based on just what happened the previous week. So, yeah, what the heck. I'll be the positive, optimistic guy for a change, and I'll say Eagles 24, Saints 23.
Shiel, you a good dancer?
I am not. I'm terrible.
Do you have a favorite dance, or do you participate in wedding dances like the line dances or whatever?
I usually will go head to the bar, head to the back. Does anyone need anything? Yeah, no, that generally is not my thing.
What a coward!
Well, I used to be like you, Shiel. I used to try to hide out. Now I told my wife probably 2-3 years ago I am a proud non-dancer.
Right.
And I said I'm just hanging out. I'm going to sit at the table.
I'll watch you.
Yeah, it's cool.
I watch my wife dance. I just did it. Last month at a wedding. Like, yeah, I'll sit here and watch you dance.
Unless she's had a few too many is doing the sexy dancing, then I got to find a way to get her off the dance floor. Yeah. Even if it's with another, whatever. All right, Shiel.
Oh,
well, you know, sometimes, it's with my friend. Hey, get out of here. All right, Shiel. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. Take care.
There he is. Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer. Love Shiel. Love Shiel. Shiel is a Philadelphia success story.
Yeah.
Was just like a Philly.com, editor and digital guy or whatever. Started writing an Eagles column, and now he's like Mr. Football.
Remember when Shiel had hair?
Yes.
I don't. I definitely don't.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, don't you try to take credit for some of Shiel's success?
Me?
Yeah.
I think I was the first guy to have him on the radio.
Yeah. See, once again.
Ask him. Text him and ask him.
The Spike Eskin tree.
Call him back.
All he's done.
Call him back.
Spike Eskin tree.
Call him back. Get him back on the phone. I need to know if I get credit for it. I believe he is part of the tree, at least on some level. I believe he's part of the tree. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. The question being, are the Eagles closer to the 18th best team in football or the 6th best team in football? 18th is at 59% and 6th is at 41%. I did not think 2 games into the season we would have a split like this. But
everybody on jump ship already.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take care of it.
John in Mullica Hill, you're on WIP.
Ike, Fritz, and Billy Idol. How are you guys?
Billy Idol?
I'll take it.
Okay.
Billy Idol's frigging cool, man. I'll take it.
By himself.
Oh, because I'm dancing by myself. Okay.
Anyway. Yeah. So I will say that I like the Eagles probably in the power. I think the power rankings are terrible. I think they stink. I think they're probably 11 or 12. I haven't had a chance to call you guys because I can never get in. But anyway, when I do tell you that I was disappointed in the game, just like everybody else was, I wouldn't blame anybody but the coaches. They should have taken that field goal in the first quarter. They should have ran the ball. Even if they didn't make that touchdown at the end of the game, instead of kicking off and having the Falcons start at the 35-yard line, they're starting at the 5. And they have no timeout.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, if I was going to blame anything, I'd blame the coaches for that. Well, that was terrible. But, again, you're right. It's the second game of the year. We like to jump down everybody's throats in Philadelphia, give it a break. That said, I don't think the Eagles beat the Saints, though.
Wow. That's not a good sign because Tampa's pretty good, too.
Shield's back.
I'm not
yeah.
on Tampa yet.
Well, I told Jack to get Shield back on.
No.
John, for next question, give us your a famous dance. Well,
I know you guys have all done it at weddings, the electric slide.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've
oh,
done
yeah.
the electric slide.
Love the
yeah.
electric slide.
Electric slide's a good one because if you're not a great dancer, you can
yeah,
figure
you can
it out.
Yeah, you just get in and be bad with everybody else.
So, seems like Shield's not letting me take any credit for his success. Is that a no, Shield?
I mean, I've never gotten a call back from her. It is my first time. Now, I did give you credit, Spike, for my broadcast WIP career, because when I was, you know, had hair and was 25 years old or whatever, you say, Shield, can you come on at 12:30 tonight and I'd be in my apartment? And I'd say, yeah, let's do it. I'm excited to be on WIP. So I do give you credit for
okay.
the WIP aspect.
That's all. Just for what it's worth, all I said was I believed I was the first person to put you on the radio.
That's true.
Okay.
That is accurate, and you absolutely get credit for. And even when I came back from Seattle, you helped me get back on
okay.
WIP. So
all
you
right.
get credit. For, now I'm multi-talented, Spike, so you get credit for the radio. The other aspects, I can't give you this podcast.
No, that's fair. I wasn't trying to take credit for that.
Okay.
My only comment was we were in a meeting at one point, I think, talking about you, and I said, I believe I was the first person to put Shield on the radio. When you were writing your Michael
right,
Vick
right.
column, then your Kevin Cobb column. So I remember that well. So, all right, Shield.
Not surprisingly, Jack misrepresented what you said.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yep. He's always trying to stir stuff up. So.
All right,
would never.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you, Shield. We got to have Shield on twice. Is he going to charge us twice now? He's big time.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Should have ran that one by Rod.
Yep.
Should have ran that one by Rod.
Oh, no. Arthur in Scottsdale.
Hey, it's our buddy,
yo,
Arthur.
Let me say this to you, Brother Spike. I've been out on parole faster than you guys put me on the phone.
Well,
yeah, well.
It takes time.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it took that much time.
Well, you got a lot of calls. Also, you're a pain in the ass.
Correct.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but listen, you know what the best part of it is? I love you. You know, let me say, the Phillies got the mutts. Oh, my God. And the Eagles, when will they bench hurt? That's all I want to ask you, and I'll let you elaborate. And I'll listen for a little.
Well, they're not going to bench Hurts. That's not happening.
When are they going to bench Hurts? He is, I can say this confidently,
yeah.
one of the least of their problems right now.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, genius.
Yeah.
3 yards, third down, and what do? You run the ball.
Nah.
You throw
That's
it.
Right.
You throw it.
It's 2024.
No, you don't. No, you don't. If you got a great running back, you run it and get the first down. You show dominance. You're not what? Winning the Super Bowl. Go ahead.
Hold on. Our great running back dropped the ball.
Yeah, we tried to get it to him.
Sad. That's what happens when you become an Eagle, though. You go down. It's like, you know, the Phillies. Let me say this to you.
Yeah.
Harper gets like a home run, and they dump like two little cups of what, Gatorade on him. Listen, you're paying a guy all that money, and that's what he does. Like, oh my, that guy is just as bad as Utley. I don't know who I hate more.
What, Harper or Utley?
Correct.
Hey, Arthur, what address are you at right now? Just out of curiosity.
You ain't slick. You ain't that slick. I might be drinking, but I ain't stupid.
We're not even on the radio right now. I just want to send you something. I'm going to send you a pizza.
You want to send me a pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy there. The pizza ain't good out of here. That sounds genius.
Is that your real laugh or is that a fake laugh?
No, that was a fake laugh.
Okay. I was going to make sure. You did it twice.
You know what I mean? Yo, listen, how's Dad doing? I tried to call him, but they wouldn't take my call.
Dope.
Oh, really? Well, I thought they were doing, on his show this past weekend, weren't they doing the worst WIP callers?
Correct.
And so why didn't
they
have Arthur on?
I've been in the front row.
Yeah. It seems like it would be a perfect situation for you, Arthur.
Oh, yeah,
did you?
They didn't take. Go ahead.
Does he not like you now for some reason? Was there a falling out? Yeah, I don't know.
Listen to me. Your dad loves me. Forget about that, genius.
Okay.
That's a good try on your side.
I'm just asking. Because they didn't take your call.
You know your dad loves me. Why you go bring that up? It's like you're trying to make a problem in the family.
No.
When there is none.
You're not in our family.
You know, listen to me. Ask your dad.
Okay.
Maybe your dad will call now.
You
and
ask him.
If I'm part of the family.
Okay. What family? What family?
Well, he's part of the asking family.
Oh, I thought he was part of the other family.
Oh, I am part of that family, too.
Yeah.
Well, there you go incriminating yourself again.
Yep, yep. See, you just admitted it.
Now, listen.
Yeah.
Let's laugh a little bit more.
Okay.
What do you got for your Phillies playing the Mets?
As long as they split, I'm happy.
Okay, that's a loser standpoint.
Well, we're
like that.
We're 8 games up on you. How many? 7.
Yeah, but that don't matter. Listen, you could be 8 games up, so you win you get the division, and then you lose the first round.
Okay, well,
go ahead.
The Mets aren't even going to be in the playoffs, so
we don't know yet.
I thought you were a Yankee fan.
I am, but listen, brother, I love you. You know that my favorite team is the New York Yankees. My second favorite team is anybody playing the Phillies right now.
Oh.
How about them?
Nah. Yankees fans hate Mets fans more than they hate
Correct.
Phillies fans. Yes.
But I hate the Red Sox more than anything on the
planet. Okay. Well, yeah, sure. But they're not particularly relevant right now. So you should hate the Mets more than you hate the Phillies as a Yankees fan.
No.
Yes. I lived there for I was surrounded by Yankees fans. You're not even allowed in New York anymore.
Queens, you lived in Queens with all them losers?
No, I did not live in Queens, but I'm saying I work in New York with Yankees fans for years and Mets fans, and they hate each other.
Correct.
Yankees fans don't care about the Phillies.
No, they don't. But we don't. We hate the Red Sox, genius.
Yeah.
But to put a spin on it, how you going to... Listen.
Yeah.
I'm here to create controversy.
Oh.
If I say to you I love the Yankees and my second anybody play the Boston Red Sox, is that good conversation?
No, but none of this is good conversation, if we're being honest.
But listen to me.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Because if it got to the World Series and the New York Yankees were playing the Phillies, I hate the Philly shadow. How's that sound?
Do you have a favorite dance, Arthur?
Listen to me. I'll give you the hot tip. My wife's a great dancer. Many times I go out and my wife would dance. Never a problem. My wife could dance, though.
What about you?
Back into the 1980s hustle. Listen.
Oh, the hustle.
The lady can dance, brother.
I like the hustle.
Yo, my wife could. Yo, Brother Spike.
Yeah.
My wife could dance.
I'm Brother Spike.
Listen,
yeah, I know.
My wife be dancing all night long. She goes, what are you going to do? But I got this. The Glenn Levitt on the rap. Knock yourself out, sweetheart.
There you go.
There you go. You sit and watch her and admire her.
Yeah.
No, listen.
While the other guys are dancing with her.
Yo, listen, brother.
Wow.
Don't act stupid, though, when they were dancing. We were all friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah, is that what they call
nobody's
it?
Too close.
Nah, listen, they're hustling. They don't know that slow dance, that grinding stuff. They don't
Nah, we don't do that. We don't do that.
I'm good at that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're doing that hustle like John Travolta stuff.
Yeah, do the hustle.
John Travolta stuff. It's 2024. All right, Arthur. We got to go.
Guys, listen, let me say, you know I love you, Brother Spike, and that's the other Spike, my Brother Spike.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a little liking to you, but not much.
Okay, fair enough. Say the feeling's mutual.
So what do you say about you? I'm asking you. I know you're a white boy, but how do you feel about this beggar?
About who?
About him.
Oh,
about you?
I'm Italian. You know what I mean?
Well, I love Italians. You, I don't, specifically, I don't like at all, though.
Okay, that's all right. That's no problem. But your dad likes me, and that makes it all
good. Yeah, I lived in South Philly with the Italian people for years. Lived over at 10th and Rittner. A lot of Italians. We all got along fine.
I lived in Packer Park back in the day, brother.
There you go.
I married a South Philly girl.
See, my wife's parents are from South Philly. So there we go. So we're connected. We're probably related on some level.
Connected.
Yeah. Connected.
And your dad are related. You're like the black sheep of the family.
All right, get out of here. Done with him. But if you're listening, for some reason, Ike is Brother Spike.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, and I don't know who I am.
Yeah, well, you're Spike.
Yes, just regular Spike. We did mention the Phillies there. Phillies have a big series starting today. 4 games against the Mets. We will get into it with the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report next. Continue our conversation about the Eagles as well. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jack loves this song.
Yeah. It's good. It gets in your head.
WIP Afternoon Show.
Don't know who sings it?
Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's on TikTok.
Still don't know who sings it yet?
It's on TikTok.
It's on TikTok. Just use Shazam or whatever. You ever use that
I
app?
I still got that.
Oh, yeah. Shazam's, yeah. Shazam's staple.
It's one of the original apps. One of the greatest apps of all time.
Around.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the greatest apps ever. You need it a little bit less now because wherever you hear a song, it's usually on a readout somewhere, but it's good. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We got a baseball team playing another big series, believe it or not. We're going to talk about them here. The High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
So before I start here, Vic Fangio weighed in on the Phils.
Oh, what'd he say?
Always got time for that.
Yep.
Phillies, I just need to get 2 out of the 4. Yeah. Then we'll be fine.
He gets it.
Yep, he's right.
Yeah. If they take 2 of 4 this weekend, then they are the division winners.
Yeah, because that's 4.
Magic number's 4. Yep. That's the math. Yep. Okay, so wrap it up this weekend. Taiwan on the mound tonight. Very exciting. The movement. Starts tonight as he makes his triumphant return.
Revenge game?
Revenge game. Taiwan's going to pitch well against them in London. Probably his best start of the season.
Revenge game?
Could be. Could be. Again.
All I want to know is who said that Taiwan Walker would get another start?
You?
It's a good call.
Never a doubt.
It's a good call. Actually, I want to look at the line.
Yeah. I assume the Mets are probably favored in this one.
Who's going for the Mets?
Luis Severino.
Oh, yeah. Well, he stinks, too.
Did they hit him last week? Did they hit him?
Bryce hit his home runs off.
Yeah.
Mets are minus 145.
That's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Pretty good odds. What are we doing with Castellanos in the 4 hole? Listen, Castellanos has been good this season. He's been consistent. But holy cow. Since he took over for Bohm in the 4 spot, he's batting 175 with a 289 slugging percentage. In the 5 spot, he's batting 289 with an 854 OPS. Can we please put Alec Bohm
back in his right spot?
Back in the 4 spot. Last night, runners are first and second, no out. Castellanos strikes out. Bohm's not striking out in that spot.
It's amazing because Castellanos was whining about having players hitting behind him and how it makes things easier or whatever. But now we have players hitting behind him and he's at below the Whit Merrifield line at this point. Yeah, put Bohm back at cleanup. And you know I'm not the biggest Bohm guy in the world, but they were effective in those spots. Put them in those spots.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
The Bohm's hitting 287.
Yeah.
In the 4 spot. It's funny, he's actually been better elsewhere, but it's not like he's fallen off a cliff batting in the 4 spot. Yeah.
He should be there.
Yeah. 32 strikeouts in the last 2 games. Obviously, we know
that's
that
not good.
Now, it would have been funny if they won last night because they would have moved to 5-0 when they strike out 16 times in a game. Which is a good bit. It's a good bit.
It's not going to be a good bit in October.
In October, no, yeah. It will not be. That Brewers pitching staff's really good. They are. Of the teams in the playoffs, they're the one that I'm like, I think the Phils will be fine if they played it in the postseason.
The Brewers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, they're good. They don't exactly strike fear in you. Their two best starters are Freddy Peralta and Frankie Montas. Like, I don't know. I didn't leave this week at the Brewers being like, I don't want to play them in the postseason.
No, I would agree with you there. They don't have that vibe to them where they're... Because the Mets scare me a little bit. Honestly, the Braves even scare me a little bit.
11 runs today by the Braves.
There you go.
Yeah, so they're pretty good. How about your boy Knowles last night, Ike?
Mm.
Went back out there for the 7th.
Mm.
Very easy 7th. He needed that kind of start. I mean, like,
it was a quick 7th.
It was a quick 7th.
There was a ball hit.
Sure was.
Very far.
Sure was.
Yeah, yep. But not quite far enough.
But stay in the ballpark. Stay in the ballpark.
Yeah.
And at least I do. I feel pretty good about I know they struck out 32 times in two games. Where the lineup is, I think like Schwarber's been pretty good. Turner's been pretty good. Harper's been pretty good. They're, you know, they're there. Bullpen, at least four of their guys are pretty good. Estevez is always going to be. He has the most Kimbrel factor, I think, of everyone. Wheeler and Sanchez, good. Like, Nola's the X factor here for how far this thing can go. And him being able to turn back that kind of performance last night, important heading into October.
Yeah, you got to have him on the right path. You know, we discussed earlier this week about what Topper would do or should do with Sanchez once the postseason starts. Would you start him in that two spot at home, especially when you have home field advantage? We'll figure out what they're going to do eventually. But I know if they're going to show the, if they're going to pull the loyalty card and stick with Nola in the two, in the number two rotation spot, I need him pitching like this going into the postseason. To feel confident about that. So, and if he's going to be at home, because that's the other thing, people will already be on edge about it. And if he's not pitching well, that, you know, the crowd, the energy, they want, I'm not saying they're going to boo him,
that nervous,
but the nervous
grumble.
Energy gets in. And you know, we'll be in the building.
Well, we'll be there.
We'll be there. And you know how that energy turns in the building when things aren't going well.
Yeah, score early. Now, his ERA at home is 3.2, on the road, 3.8. Like, so.
Okay. Oh, Nola's too.
Yeah.
So he's better. They're all better.
That's pretty interesting. Nola, who is a fly ball pitcher and gives up home runs, would have a better ERA at Citizens Bank Park.
Well, good Nola only allows one home run.
Right. Yeah.
Or they're at least solo shots.
Exactly.
And you mentioned it briefly, but I don't want to project bad vibes, but I keep having
this. Keep working at it, buddy.
Okay. I keep having this vision. And it's one of two scenarios.
Oh, God.
It's either game six, and we are down 3-2, and it's, you know, 2-2 going into the ninth inning, or it is game seven, and we're up 2-1, and that frigging guy.
Oh, the closer still.
Estevez. He's gonna. If we
know what's happening in one game at least.
If we don't win.
I hope it's not an elimination game.
Here's my promise to you. I keep seeing the vision. If we do not win the World Series, the game that we are eliminated in will be Estevez. I feel it. I see it. It's there. I can tell. I can.
You got something to combat this?
No. I mean, Estevez has the most Kimbrel factor.
Oh my God.
On this entire team. Now, obviously, laying it on a little bit thick.
Yeah.
If they lose.
I'm looking at him like, you got something for this? Like, you got something to change this?
Well, so I actually wanted to get to something on that.
Okay. Okay, please.
Save everyone here, buddy.
Well, it's more just about what happened last night. I don't know what they're doing down the stretch run here. I hope that last night, the reason Hoffman wasn't in that game was because they're managing his innings and trying to keep him as fresh as possible heading into October.
Well, here, can I ask
Unless they wanted him for the 10th, which I think is more of a strikeout
situation. Can I ask you a strategy question yesterday? So there's man on third, nobody out, and then he walks a guy, puts him on first. Why didn't they just let him take second base? There's nobody out. It's better to have a guy on first in that situation because then if he strikes one guy out, which he did, then you can get a double play. I couldn't understand why they just let him take second base.
Well, because
at that
if you throw it on a second base, there's a better chance that guy from third would go home.
No, I understand that. But Estevez didn't even hold him on first. They just sort of let him have it. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, and then they. I was surprised they didn't walk back to back guys and
load
the bases up.
Yeah.
But the Hoffman thing I think was interesting yesterday. Now Estevez has only pitched twice in the last like seven games, so I think they want to get him some work. But still, like
he was great in them.
I know that can't happen in the postseason. Like Hoffman, if that's the situation that Estevez is coming into, like that has to be Hoffman. So that's one to file away.
All right, fingers crossed.
Yeah,
is that everything?
Kirkring was great.
Yes.
Yeah, Kirkring
he's been
was
great for weeks now.
Yeah. Ramping up at the right time.
That's right. That's all I got.
Okay. High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Remember, you can get the High Hopes podcast, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Fritzy over there, as well as James Seltzer from The Morning Show. Mr. and Mr. Philly, right there. That's what everybody calls him. 215-592-9494. Talking about the Eagles, two power rankings. One has them at 6, one has them at 18, which I think is the biggest spread I've ever seen at them. The question is, are they closer to 6 or are they closer to 18? Ike says 6. I say 18. Jack says 6, but he's lying.
Not lying.
Yes, yes he is. VP of the LTBB.
Oh, that's right.
Kimberly, you are on WIP.
Hey, guys.
What's up,
VP? I called in August, and I said, and a lot of people said this, I'm not trying to claim I was the only one, but I said, we're going to get a slow start. There's a lot of reasons why we're going to get a slow start. We all know it. I don't need to repeat it. Now we're getting, I mean, we lost by one game by 1 point, and everyone is freaking out. Mm-hmm. So if we all accepted back in August, and there was a lot of agreement that, yes, we'd probably start slow, I don't understand the attitude now. Like, we knew this was coming. Again, one game by 1 point. And
we don't handle ugly wins well. We're definitely not going to handle a loss very well around here.
It's just, I mean, if you look at teams that start 1-1, like the Super Bowl champion last year started 1-1, Kansas City.
I think it's less about the fact that they're 1-1 and more about the fact that we were hoping the defense would be passable, and nobody feels like it's passable right now. I honestly,
that's true. I don't know how the defense is getting better.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I would be able to just sort of, after a day or two, brush off the fact that they blew the game on Monday night if I felt like they overall, that everybody played well. I just can't think of anything I'm feeling really good about on the defensive side of the ball, except for Quinyon Mitchell. And to be quite honest with you, him being that, he was bad on that final drive, by the way. There were a couple of huge mistakes by him there.
Yep.
But that's fine. He's a rookie. Mm-hmm. But his good play almost started, I think, has started to expose the fact that Slay isn't what he was. So I think the offense is fine, is good, is going to be a good offense, but the defense looks so bad, it just looks unrecoverable.
I understand that. I watched the game too, and it hurt. And the fact that we didn't get any pressure, and I don't think they were calling for any pressure, like, all of that is concerning. But we have a new coordinator. We have a lot of changes. We lost Fletcher Cox. Like, let's give them more than 2 weeks to get this into place. You guys are saying, I don't know how the defense gets better, but a lot of these guys didn't play in preseason, and let's give them a chance to get out there, to play together, and to play together better. And they looked okay the first game. They didn't look brilliant. Nobody was, you know, nominating them for awards or whatever, but they weren't terrible, and we weren't all freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bad game. They didn't look good. But I don't think it's time to, like, you know, dig the grave.
The panic. Yeah, I you know me, VP. I hang in there until I almost can't hang in there anymore. So I think we got a lot of football left to go. But we need evidence to sort of hang in there. So come next Sunday, as optimistic as you and I may be right now, and we're not the only ones. I think there are plenty of people out there that still want to be optimistic about the team. They have to play well in order to continue to build that confidence. Because they lose Sunday, now we're looking at 1-2. And I don't know how strong our defense is going to be next week if they don't look good Sunday.
And I understand that, but I also have been debating that myself. Like, how am I going to feel if New Orleans beats us on Sunday? And as always, and as you guys always say, it's going to depend on what the game looks like.
It's
if we go down there and look terrible, I'm going to have a whole different feeling than if we go down and play against a team that has been beating up on people and we play a good game, but we lose. Then I'm just going to still be in the mindset of, I knew it was going to be a slow start. I have to ride this out, and I'm going to be okay. So it really depends on how the game goes.
That's fair.
That's
and, and listen, that's why you're level-headed, and you've always been one of the better Eagle fans. So, yeah, I just hope I feel the same way come Sunday evening.
I mean, it's easy to call in on Thursday and feel this way.
right.
Monday night, I was not quite this calm.
Right. So. That's how the week goes.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So next question today. On this day in 1960, Chubby Checker went number one with the twist. Give us a famous dance.
Give you a famous dance. Not one that I can do.
Yes.
I will say the salsa. I will tell you, my hidden superhero power is not that I ever go country line dancing, but I can watch a line dance one time through and then do it. It's like a weird It's my weird skill. So there you go.
Cool. Great.
I liked it.
Yeah. All right.
Completely useless.
Yeah,
well, that's okay. No, it works.
Would be useful for a lot of people. All right, BP. Remember, salsa.
That's a dance, right?
Yeah, and remember, was it late 80s or early 90s? It became this whole thing for a minute. There was a movie about salsa dancing, I think.
Yeah.
It was like a whole thing.
And Jason Avant.
Jason's like, he's like.
Captain Salsa.
Follow Jason on Instagram, so he posts his videos of
dancing.
Salsa dancing. Yes, he takes salsa classes. Like, yeah, he's into it, man. I mean, he's in a full sweat by the time he's done.
So speaking of the defense, as we talked about with VP there, Bryce Huff spoke today about what he may need to do to become more effective or any effective at all. And here's what he said.
Just being more consistent and setting the edge and switching up my rushes as much as I can and making the game a little bit harder for the tackles instead of giving them the same look every time.
Is the role that you're being used for here the role you envisioned when you signed?
I didn't really have an expectation when I came here. I just was planning to do whatever they needed me to do.
Okay, they paid me a lot of money.
Yeah, I got
that bread. Yes. Tell me what I'm doing afterwards. Yeah.
Expectation that every 2 weeks he will get that email about the direct deposit.
Yeah. They didn't explain to me what role I was doing or what have you. I just agreed to the money.
He did say in there.
Which I would have done, too.
Yes.
So.
I'm not begrudging him for that.
Yes.
And I like the fact that he's like, I don't know what my role is going to be. I'm just here to play. Okay, great. He did say there that he has to mix up his approach when he is rushing the quarterback. I've never been a defensive lineman. It seems like that would be something that he should
already
be doing.
Well, the thing is, he's so used to doing it in limited snaps. So sometimes he probably has gotten away with coming in, just pinning his ears back and rushing the quarterback. Also, we've heard several people say, if you go back and look at some of the sacks he got last year, not all of them, but some of them, there are ones when he's unblocked, meaning that there's a mistake on the offensive line that he just benefited from. There are times where he clearly wasn't the focal point of an offensive line when it came to turning protection to. They're going to these other guys. He gets on the lesser of the offensive lineman, whether it's a tackle or a guard, and he's able to have success there. My thing is with him, I think, to me, it has less to do with Bryce Huff and has more to do with it was a bad signing and he's being miscasted. Now, if he can prove me to be wrong about that, then God bless him. We should be better off for it. But the role that he's had and he's thrived in since he's been in the NFL has been a specialist. That's where he's thrived at. It's like taking a third down receiver, a possession receiver, and because he all of a sudden in a year where I don't know. Somehow he became their, like Jason Avant. No offense.
Became
to my
the number
brother.
One guy.
Yeah, no offense to my brother Jason, but we know what he was great at doing. Now, if a team paid him to come in and be their number one wide receiver, that's their fault.
Doesn't
not
matter
Jason's
how much you
fault.
Pay him.
Exactly, right. It's not Jason's fault that you paid him. So I look at Bryce Huff and I say, if he were playing in his role as strictly a pass rusher guy, a specialist, where he came out in obvious passing downs, maybe we would get production out of him.
The other thing that was happening with the Jets is he was playing with more talent than he's playing right now.
Yep.
And it would help if the two tackles, if Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. I'm not putting Bryce Huff's failure on them, but nobody on the defensive line is performing at a top, an elite level right now.
Yeah.
Nobody is.
And I thought Jalen flashed in that first game.
Yes, he did.
He showed us some flashes. Didn't see much out of him Monday night.
Nope.
And the fact that he didn't start, and it's been reported that he missed meetings or an event or whatever it was, I wonder, when did he get the news that he wasn't going to start? Mm. How did he take it? Certainly didn't look like he took it and was pissed off in a way where he's going to go out there and dominate everybody.
Yeah, prove everybody wrong.
Looked like he was mad and said whatever.
Right.
Because he's too good not to be heard from all night long.
Coming up next. So Bill Belichick has been making sexy eyes at the Eagles for months now. You know what I'm saying. He's flirting.
Okay.
Sure is.
And there's a guy, knows him well, named Mike Lombardi.
Ah.
We will have Mike Lombardi on next. Obviously, we'll ask about the Eagles, but it is all just leading up to me asking him about Bill Belichick.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
So that will be next on the WIP Afternoon Show.
Is that Bill?
No, that was, yeah, that was
yeah,
Belichick.
That's Bill. Yeah.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Listen to all that energy. Guy's basically
he's
in midnight
excited,
green.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody get
he's gonna
the sleeveless
look,
hoodie.
He's going to look great in Kelly Green.
Sleeveless Kelly Green hoodie on Belichick.
Talk about a dream.
His 24-year-old girlfriend wearing it to sleep at night?
Nope. She will not be a part of the picture. He's here to win a Super Bowl.
Your mic's not on.
There it is.
The good thing is we haven't seen her.
No, we have not.
Well, he's been on TV too much.
Well, I'm just saying he isn't even parading around anywhere or anything.
It's football time now.
Yes.
It's football time. So Mike Lombardi is next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.